Well, good morning, everyone, on this Canada Day long weekend. It's good to see everyone together in one service. You know that Pastors Mike and Laura are away this weekend, and so I'm here to preach the word this morning. You know, it's a little different with them not around. Mike said it's going to be a really full service, so get as far to the front as you can. So I thought, well, I'll listen. I'll go to the very front row, but I couldn't quite sit in his chair. It sort of looks like Sheldon's chair, doesn't it? You know, like, I thought I might get zapped if I sat in that chair. So anyway, it's a little intimidating working on this staff. You know, Mike has all that hair, and, you know, Pastor Trevor has a full head of hair, and Pastor Clay has full head of hair. But you know, there is a saying that I believe in, and that is a good man will always come out on top. A few guys liked the joke, most of you didn't, but anyway. This Canada Day, and I think as Pastor Mike told us last week, our hope is not in our country, right? It's not about having the right politics and having, you know, the right government and all those different things. Our hope is in Jesus. At the same time, we want to celebrate, give thanks, be good citizens of the country that we live in. And so I hope you have a good celebration, especially tomorrow. This is important. Pastor Mike asked me to preach on why missions matter. Missions matter because people matter. People matter to God. People matter to us. God has a mission, and God has called us to join him on this mission. Most of us know the parable of the prodigal son, but we don't always consider the context. We just sort of start with the parable. In the beginning of Luke 15, the first two verses, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" So we should understand that context. Here's people, the undesirables of society, the people who were discarded, rejected. They're drawn to Jesus. They come around him. And some of the religious leaders, well, they don't really care for that. They think, well, why would we want to have anything to do with them? And Jesus responds to that by telling actually three parables. Parable of a lost sheep, parable of a lost coin, and then the parable of a lost son. In each of those parables, I'm not going to take a lot of time with those parables. They're great to look at. But in each of those parables, something that was precious is lost. In each parable, there's this great earnest search to find that which is precious. And in each parable, when that which is found, when the precious thing is found, there's just this great rejoicing. There's a party. Everything's good. Everything's happy because those things were found. And those, Jesus is saying, those are people. Lost people. Lost people matter. They matter to God. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute. In the third parable, there wasn't really a search, was there? Well, I think sometimes when people, when they really wander away, that's all we can do to search, is to love and to care and to be burdened and to pray and to wait. I think there was a search. God has a mission. And I want to talk about God's mission and our part in it. God is on a mission to create for himself a people. We see this in the beginning, Genesis 1, God created people in his image, male and female. God makes a people and they have relationship. They're together. Of course, that went sideways, but God continues to draw people to himself. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Mike was in Revelation 21, and he talked there at verse 3. Before he got there, though, he pointed back to Exodus, when God's now going to restore and gather his people again. In Exodus there, it says, "I will be your people," or "I will be your God, and you will be my people." He said we see some form of that 28 times in the scripture till we come to Revelation 21, verse 3. And there it says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." You know, in eternity, we'll have the fulfillment of God's mission. God has for himself a people. There are various aspects to the mission of God creating for himself a people. I mean, there's salvation, there's covenant, there's shalom, there's God doing good things among his people, healing and other things. But God is drawing people to himself. God's mission had, I would say, limited success in the Old Testament. So God had two main parts to carry on this mission. The first part was Jesus. Jesus came and he walked among people. He, just like we see in the beginning of Luke 15, he drew people to himself. People, some who were the undesirables of society, but he really drew from all walks of life. He had a people and he did great work among them. The second part is us. Some of you were hoping I'd say the Holy Spirit, weren't you? Now, the Holy Spirit is important. The Holy Spirit empowers, but he works through us, his people, to carry on his mission. In Acts 1, verse 8, it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we don't just get to pray, "Holy Spirit, please go into all the world and make people for, you know, save people." I mean, we do pray that too, but we also pray, "Holy Spirit, come upon us, work in us, work through our witness so that people will hear, will receive." And then the book of Acts is about how this happened in that generation. You know, it started in Jerusalem. It started at the day of Pentecost, and people heard the gospel where Peter preached Jesus, and he told them about how Jesus came, he walked among us, he was crucified by you, he said, and then Jesus was resurrected, and there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And then from there, it just went out to the different areas and regions, further and further, but we read about it in that generation. And it continues through all the generations until now. You know, in 1974, so it's 50 years ago now, some of you will remember this, I imagine, 2,700 evangelical leaders gathered in Lausanne, Switzerland, to consider the mission of the church. And we keep looking back because it was a very key time. And they wrote a covenant which included these words: "God has been calling out from the world a people for himself and sending his people back into the world to be his servants and his witnesses for the extension of his kingdom, the building up of Christ's body, and the glory of his name." And then it said, "We confess with shame that we have often denied our calling and failed in our mission by becoming conformed to the world or by withdrawing from it." Yeah, there was repentance, there was brokenness, there was recommitment to the mission of God. So let's consider Acts 1, verse 8, a very, very key verse. One, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Pastor Mike shared last Sunday that we're going to do a summer series on the Holy Spirit. Very important. If you miss some Sundays this summer, make sure you watch the live stream. You can watch it live, or you can watch it a bit later, or you can listen to the podcast. But I encourage you to tune into this series. So I'm not going to say a lot about the Holy Spirit this morning because my topic is mission. But I do want to say that we need him. He empowers us. We cannot do this on our own. So the Spirit is God in us working through us. So the Spirit empowers us for mission. We have a mission. The Spirit, he helps make that mission effective. I have a friend who was involved in ministry in a restricted access country. It was in Asia. Bibles were not allowed. Church wasn't allowed. He has some amazing stories about how they trained leaders for the church underground. He also was involved in bringing Bibles into that country. And so he said one day he was coming through and getting to customs. He had a suitcase that was mostly Bibles. He tried to look at the lines, you know, who's the friendliest custom agent, thinking I'll get into that line. Well, the one in the middle, he said there were three. One in the middle seemed pretty good, was chatty, talking, waving people through fairly quickly. The one on the right, he said, looked very stern, asked lots of hard questions, opened people's luggage. And so he thought, well, he'd get in the middle. And he heard God's voice, the Spirit say, you get in the right lane. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make much sense, but he just felt that prompting that God wanted him in this right line. So he gets there, and his time is getting closer, and he's getting a little nervous. And all of a sudden, this alarm goes off at the center booth, and all security goes running over there, and, you know, everything's under scrutiny. And even the third guy, the red guy on the right, he quickly processes another couple people, including my friend, waves them through with hardly a question, and then he also goes through the middle. The Holy Spirit does things like that. And God works through our witness. Sometimes it's just to work in people's hearts. Sometimes it's to give us the right ideas, the right words. We need the Holy Spirit. Some of us think the responsibility for God's mission is too much for us. Yes, it is. We can't do it, but we go in Jesus' name. We go in Jesus' authority. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is God's mission. He equips us to do our part. And we just need to find that confidence in what God wants to do in us. Secondly, it says, you will be my witnesses. So what is a witness? Well, a witness is one who shares what they've heard, what they've seen, what they've experienced. I think we see incidents with witness in society generally a lot. There'll be an accident or there'll be a crime, and the police will put out this appeal for witnesses, right? They want to know someone who's observed what happened. I think if we've had an experience with God, if we know God, if we believe certain truths about God, then we also are able to be witnesses. We're able to share what we know, what we've experienced. Someone has said that evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You know, like we found it, and we get to tell someone else who has a need that's where living bread is found. God performs his mission through witnesses. So mission is essential to following Jesus. It's just part of the plan. Almost a century ago, Emil Brunner said, the church exists by mission just as a fire exists by burning. Where there is no mission, there's no church. And where there's neither church nor mission, there's no faith. So you can be like the religious leaders who say, well, let's not care about those other people. Let's just be a closed group. And Jesus would have no part of that. That would be like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, not caring about lost people. Mission is not an optional extra. We're called to make disciples. We do this, I think, in many ways. I mean, we support missionaries. We pray for them. We give to them. We have programs in the church where we present Jesus. And those are all good things. We're also called to engage personally in witness. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Oh, that God would help us be witnesses. Disciples are made as ordinary Christians are witnesses of Jesus. Sometimes some of us feel, well, yeah, but I don't have the gift of evangelism. And certainly there, There is that gift, and some people are very good. God works through them. They have a gift, and they're able to meet people and strike up a conversation and direct it to spiritual things, and people become followers of Jesus. And it's amazing, and we should be very grateful for those people. But God also wants to work in all us ordinary people as well. I think it's just like some people have a gift of giving, and yet all of us are called to give. And some people have a gift of evangelism, but all of us are called to share our faith as we have opportunity. I think often when we consider the disciples, we talk about Peter, James, and John, right? The big three. But what do we really know about the other nine? What do we know about Andrew? Well, mostly that he was Simon Peter's brother. But you know, here's Andrew. We don't really read a lot about him, but when we do read about him, it seems that he's introducing people to Jesus. In John 1, Andrew met Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Before Jesus fed the 5,000, it was Andrew who spoke up and said, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish." Connected him to Jesus. In John 12, some Greeks came to Jerusalem. They met Philip, and they told him they wanted to see Jesus. And I don't know why, but instead of going to Jesus, Philip went to Andrew. And together they told Jesus. And Andrew introduced people to Jesus. Ordinary disciple, not one of the big three. But God used him. I think the task at times seems overwhelming, but there are a few things that bring as much joy as seeing people give their hearts to Jesus. So we're witnesses. And as we have opportunity, we want to just introduce people to Christ, just share what we know. 3, our mission is to the world. Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." So let's start with Jerusalem. Jerusalem was their home. That was their center. That was where people were like them. They knew the community. For us too, I would say mission starts at home. Starts where we are. It starts in our country, Canada, great country with many needs. Starts in the Comox Valley, where we get to share with the people around us. In Matthew 10, when Jesus sent the disciples on mission, he said, "Go to the lost sheep of Israel." They started where they were. But later, after the resurrection, before the ascension, Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples. And he said, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." Last Sunday, after one of the services, a person came to me for prayer. She'd been invited to a social gathering. And her prayer request was just that God would help her be salt and light, that she would be a reflection of Jesus in that gathering so that people would be drawn to Christ. I think that's a beautiful thing. That's our prayer, right? Starts there. Last Sunday, Pastor Mike talked about our astonishing opportunity to share the gospel. He said, Vancouver Islanders are spiritually open. There is an openness to at least spiritual things, and we're witnesses. So we want to trust God to work in people's hearts through the Spirit. We want to share Jesus with those that God brings across our paths. You know, several years ago, I pastored a church in Swift Current. One day I received a phone call from a lady in Vancouver, and she said her brother-in-law lived in Swift Current. Her sister and her husband lived in Swift Current. Her husband had cancer. He was dying. Didn't know Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. Would I go and visit them? So I did. He was in the hospital at the time. They welcomed my visit. They weren't ready to receive Jesus. And so I just cared, developed a bit of a relationship. Wasn't long, and he was going to be discharged from the hospital for a period of time. But they had a problem in that they lived in the third floor of a 3-story apartment that didn't have an elevator. And he was no longer strong enough to make it up the stairs. So they found a basement apartment where they would just have 3 stairs down or something like that. But they didn't have the means to move. They didn't have much. So I gathered some guys and their trucks, and we got together and we went over and we moved them. Well, we're moving them, their daughter, she's there, and she said, well, she needs to move too, and she's on welfare and she doesn't have anything, so we moved her too. And we carried on this relationship, and it wasn't long before the dad and mom opened their hearts to Jesus and prayed to receive Christ. And I thought he would make it to a service yet. He never did. But he died knowing that he was going to be with Christ. And she carried on in the church. She was baptized. It was a great thing. The daughter, she wasn't ready to receive Christ, but she allowed her son to go with grandma, and her son would always be in children's ministry. And so sometimes there are opportunities to just share Christ. Second is Judea and Samaria. So these are the areas around Jerusalem. They're a little farther out. And sometimes with some of those, there are cultural, there are religious differences. There are crossing boundaries in order to reach people. Acts 8 tells us that a great persecution arose. The church was scattered. Those who had been scattered, they preached the word everywhere they went. And so they were witnesses in suddenly now in Judea and Samaria and even beyond. This Canada Day weekend, I thought of a story. Several years ago, I had the privilege of attending a Canadian citizenship ceremony. I don't know if you've ever gone to one of those, but they're worth going to and to see people become Canadian. 56 individuals from 13 countries became Canadians that day. And I attended to support two brothers who had immigrated from El Salvador. And I didn't know them really well. I ended up, you know, in a conversation with them. I said, did your parents come to Canada as well? And one guy just very bluntly said, no, they're dead. And I went, oh. But they'd been killed in a war. And these two guys and another brother and two sisters had all been raised in an orphanage, and all five now had been able to immigrate to Canada, and they were very grateful, and these two guys were thankful to become Canadians. It was really a special thing. I think there are many newcomers to Canada. Some of them come as refugees with a lot of need and a lot of brokenness, maybe trauma in their past. Others come for jobs. Some of them come for to go to school. I went to North Island College's graduation a couple of weeks ago. There are a lot of immigrants, or I don't know if they're immigrants yet because they're just coming as students. There are a lot of people from all over the world who are in our community. And some of them end up in our church, and we're always very thankful to have you here. Glad that you're with us. Some of them come and they know Jesus, and that's great. They end up in churches, and we're thankful. But there's many who maybe don't, and it's our opportunity to share Jesus with them. And then we have the ends of the earth. God's mission won't be complete until it goes to all peoples. The revelation reveals that God's people includes those from every nation, tribe, people, and language. God may call some of us to go as missionaries. I think that's a very exciting thing for those who have gone. I've not been a missionary in that sense, but we have visited some missionaries in other parts of the world. God calls all of us to pray and support missions. On Thursday, we're going to have the Watoto here, an African children's choir. And we're going to come to enjoy their music, certainly. But it's also about supporting God's mission in Africa. A few months ago, we shared our Mission 2024 booklet, Blessed to be a Blessing. Some of you have gone through this. There's a lot of the missionaries that we support as a church family in here. We had pastors Christo and Sarah from India share of their ministry. It was a powerful morning. Then more recently, we had Matthew Price here to talk about the mission in Thailand. Then there's other missionaries, some local, many in other countries. Very exciting to be a part of what God's doing around the world, and we get to be part of that. That's one of the ways we participate in God's mission. As a church, we're supporting short-term missions, specifically to Guatemala. And talk to Chris this week. There's still room if you want to go to Guatemala next year. And then next year, also Pastor Clay with some youth will go on a short mission to Los Angeles. And so it's a great thing, and we get to be part of that. We're sent on mission to the world. So that's good. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. I think the part some of us need most help with is our witness to those around us. So I want to share Timothy Keller's, what he called his evangelism best practices. And I hope this will be helpful. I hope it will take some of the pressure off. I hope we'll just be engaged in wanting to share Jesus with the people around us. So, 10 points. First of all, let people around you know you are a Christian, just in a natural, unforced way. Just be open about who you are, about what you believe. People need to know a real Christian. 2, ask friends about their faith and just listen. You know, too often we think evangelism is just about telling. Sometimes it's listening. If you look at the ministry of Jesus in the Gospels, notice how often he asked questions. He stimulated thought and ideas in others. He asked a lot of questions. 3, listen to your friends' problems and maybe offer to pray for them. Just care. I find that often people are okay with me saying, you know, I'd like to pray with you or for you. I was, got my tires rotated at Costco a couple weeks ago, so was at lunchtime, so I end up in the food court. I don't end up there a whole lot, but in lunchtime it was very busy. I sat down. A little later, another guy sat down. We started into a conversation, and he shared some of the difficulties that he was going through. And I said, I'll pray for you. Didn't go really further than that, other than to offer prayer for this person. Sometimes that's what we can do. 4, share your problems with others. Testify to how your faith helps you. Too often Christians come across as not having problems, and unbelievers can't identify with that. We have problems too, and it may be good to admit that. We can also share what we do with problems, how God helps us with those things. So I'm not saying become really negative people. Oh, life is terrible. We don't want to be there, but I think we want to be real. 5, give them a book to read. And it, of course, it depends on people's interests. Maybe today you rather want to start with a website you point them to or a YouTube video. 6, share your story. People identify with stories, and that's that witness part again, right? Saying, this is what God has done for me. This is how I came to faith in Jesus. People like your story. 7, answer objections and questions. And how you do this will depend on the openness of the person. But you may, you know, with some people, you get to a point where you can discuss philosophical and biblical arguments. There is a place for apologetics. Maybe not with everyone, but with some. I think there are many good resources, including Keller's book, The Reason for God. 8, invite them to a church event. And again, this it depends on the nature of the relationship that you have with them. Maybe it's only a fun church event, at least at first. Discern their openness. Maybe you could invite their kids to summer day camp. So, Pastor Trevor, remember he gave us these so we could hand them out, so we could invite kids. 5, offer to read the Bible with them. Some people, they have an interest in finding out more about God, but they just don't know where to start. I thought what Pastor Clay shared was that last Sunday, the Sunday before, was amazing. You know, I have a youth who wants to know, you know, how do I get to know God? We can start reading scripture with people, answering questions. And 10, take them to an explore course. And I assume he means something like Alpha. There's some wonderful, you know, through Alpha, people can get to know Jesus. Keller advises that we generally start with 1 to 4. If people are interested, want to talk more, then we move to the 5 to 7 kind of things. And if they're still interested, we get to stages 8 to 10. Sometimes we want to go straight to 10. But often people start from way back, and they need some time to think, to discuss, to process in a non-pressured way. We often think that only stages 8 to 10 count, you know, when we're really inviting people to receive salvation. We invest all our energy there, but Keller suggests that to get people to stages 8 to 10, we have to put in the work at 1 to 4. And sometimes you'll keep going round the loop multiple times. And that's where 3 cups of tea and 6 other friends and gospel intentionality together, those things that we talk about, where they make a difference, where we have relationships, where we have other people who are also sharing Jesus with the same folks. The question, why does missions matter? Missions matter because lost people matter. Because God loves them just the way he loves us. John Ortberg, he was on the pastoral staff at Willow Creek Church in Chicago. And then he became the preaching pastor at a Presbyterian church in California. And he was interviewed by Leadership Magazine on the subject of creating and seizing opportunities for spiritual transformation. And he talks about the hard part of waiting in the process of life transformations, right? We so want to see the people we know and love and care about, maybe the prodigals in our lives or others, come to know Jesus, and sometimes there's just lots of waiting. He said, we had wonderful next-door neighbors in Chicago. They had some church in their background, but they'd given up on it. For 7 years, we befriended them, dinners, doing things together. We invited them to do some things at church, but no response. For 7 years. Then the husband had heart surgery, and I went to visit him in the hospital. And after that, there was openness. Things took off from that point. Ortberg says, at the last baptism service we had at Willow before I came out here, I baptized him and his wife. A 7-year period of nothing. And then one day, something opened up. God did something that I hardly thought would happen. And that was a cool moment. Oh, my friends, may we keep faith to love on those people who are in our circle and to care and support those beyond and to cross differences where we need to love and share Jesus, because the Holy Spirit will continue to work in people's lives because they matter to God. May God guide us in witness and mission. Let's worship together.